Why do you say that, Father? You aren't afraid, are you?
No. But I respect some of the superstitions of others. Often they are founded in fact.
Broadcasting from our Sanctum Sanctorum in Venice, California, this is the Sixth Sense Society. I'm your host, Krista, here with our producer, Michael, and we are excited to be back on the show. And we're going to start the year with our predictions for 2023. And we're very excited to have a really great panel. We have Carrie Jane, the numerologist, coming back, who was on last year. And then we have Carolyn and Marnie, astrologers, who are really a lot of fun and been on the show a couple times. And I'm probably going to do a little as well, and Michael a little bit too. But it's going to be a really fun time and really interesting time. So before we get started, Michael has a few announcements.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back. And can you believe we're starting our fifth year? It's just crazy. We started this 5 years ago now, or 4 years ago, and it's just been a lot of fun. We've met some great people doing it, so we're looking forward to this season as well. Next week, we have Solaris, a great astrologer friend as well, and she's going to be talking about astrology and relationships, and we're planning all kinds of other really great shows for this year. Get all the information on our website, sixthsensesociety.com, S-I-X-T-H, all spelled out. And while you're there, if you can afford to, buy us a coffee on Ko-Fi. But one of the most important things, if you're watching us on YouTube, click like and subscribe, or even if you're listening to our podcast, if you sneak over to YouTube and like and subscribe, it really does help us a lot. So I don't want to take up too much time because we have so much ground to cover today. So with that, I'm going to kick it back to you, Krista. So take it away, Krista.
Great. Thank you, Michael. And welcome, Carrie.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Welcome, Caroline.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me.
And Marnie.
Hi. How's it going?
So I thought it'd be fun to start off the show with sort of any broad statements any of you would like to make about 2023. And you're looking at me, Caroline, so let's start with you.
Oh, okay. 2023. Well, first of all, it's a transition year, and there's major celestial shifts that are going on this year. Probably the most important one, probably this decade, is Pluto going into Aquarius. And so it's so much a transition from many cycles are ending and many are beginning. And we're kind of in the middle of the end of the beginning. So there's going to be a lot of, the change is going to be, I think the change is, you know, the word of the day, and revolution and evolution. And so it's a very, and we're also still dealing this year in this country with the United States Pluto return. So there's a tremendous amount of feelings of, you know, everything is shifting, and, you know, the technology and, you know, and right down to our political, you know, theater that we're having. So it's the word is, you know, going around in the, you know, the astrological circles is it's a transition year. That's broad enough for you?
That is. Carrie, what do you think?
Ooh. Oh, Sham, yeah. I find it really interesting that you said the middle of the end of the beginning, because the way that I do numerology is the system of 1 through 9. This is a 7 year. You get that by adding 2, 2, and 3 from 2023 comes to 7. And that, to me, I look at that as the beginning of the end. So I kind of look at like 1, 2, 3 is the beginning, 4, 5, 6 is the meat of it, which was what we just exited, and then 7, 8, 9 being the ending. And so to me, from my perspective, I'm looking down at it and seeing this beginning of the end kind of situation where we're going to be experiencing a kind of evolution. 7 has everything to do with the non-material world. And so a lot can be said about that. It's going to be interesting. I'll say that. So I like the word transition. And I'm really excited to be here with astrologers because constantly on my channel, I'm talking about, oh, also please watch an astrologer explain this because they're going to add another dimension to this that I can't. So I'm really happy to be here. And yeah, I don't know how much you want me to
Well, just a quick little broad sweep and we'll come back to you to do an in-depth look at what that means, the seven and some of your other thoughts too. So that's sure. That's wonderful. So Marty, what are you? Do you have any?
Well, I would probably just piggyback on what both of them have said because, you know, obviously agreeing very much with the transition thing. It's a huge deal when Pluto changes signs because it's, you know, it's there for like 20 years. And the fact that we're living in a place where we're going through a Pluto return is incredibly intense. And we're going to see, you know, we're experiencing right now, Pluto's on the USA's chart. And we're going to get another hit in October. So I think that we're seeing the true, just the decay and all of that stuff that's been, you know, kind of bubbling up for us. Is definitely going to become even more apparent as we see like the beginning of the end. I think that definitely sums it up. And it's also when Pluto changes signs, that's also, you know, something that's globally, we're looking at, you know, the collapse of a former system, things that are not working, things that are going to break down, you know, Capricorn representing all that infrastructure that's failing and all those kinds of things and the literal death of the earth. There's just a lot of, all of our chickens are coming home to roost and, you know, and that's, you know, with Pluto shifting and right after Saturn's also going to move into Pisces, which is another shift. Saturn moves into Pisces and then Pluto goes into Aquarius. So those are two big things, you know, that are going to be happening. And so, yeah, I would just agree with the transition thing. I think there's some interesting numerology. We have been talking a lot about seven cycles of full moons in a row that are all at 16 degrees, which is also seven. And I think that's kind of interesting. So that seven is really seems to be, you know.
There's a lot to sort of break down with some of the astrology for sure. Last year I did a sort of 12-month horoscope. Well, it was more like each month a card in a circle. And it's the first time I did it. And so I did it this year. And the thing noticed, because I work with Kabbalah, is in the 12 cards, just as a general statement, there's a lot of cards drawing from the right-hand path, which is a path associated with innovation, individuality, creativity, it's very speedy, and also a lot of ego. And oddly enough, I pulled a lot of cards from the right-hand pillar when the pandemic started. And I remember I didn't know what it meant, but I think for sort of a general rule, it can create a lot of people vying for power. So I kind of feel it's going to be another one of those years where, you know, there's going to be individuals really creating. And this is what's coming to the surface. This is what we'll see in the news. And just like with Kevin McCarthy, that kind of energy, both positively and negatively.
It's happening geopolitically all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there were so many. I was like, wow, this is kind of crazy. So, but it's also great for the arts. And also I saw it as very creative and innovative. But I think some of those like right-winged and left-winged people on both sides of politics are going to really sort of dominate the conversation sometimes.
The extremes.
Yeah, the extremes.
We're definitely we're into ultra reality, right?
Yeah. Ultra reality.
Everything's ultra. The ultra right, the ultra left. It's like, yeah, it's all pretty ultra. It's pretty extreme.
So let's sort of go back to the seven, the number seven, since that is coming up in a lot of different ways. And then just a reminder that astrology is math, and that there's numbers in astrology, especially with aspects and how I was just listening to the whole idea that, you know, the universe really is mathematical. Whether you do math or not, it doesn't matter. It operates. So in a way, the fact that astrology is correlating with the seven is really interesting.
It is very interesting. I think if you also look back, you'll find occasionally that there are a lot of congruencies as well within the history of astrology and numerology. I have no explanation for that, except that's very interesting. And I really like what you said about the ego, because seven is about, you know, the mind. It's very mental. It does come back to the individual. And whenever I talk about entire years, I think about the year that we just exited and the year that we are about to enter. And the year that we just exited is that of the six, which was all about our emotional space. And it was all about community and navigating through that, however that looked like for the collective and for the individual. And now that we're in a 7 year, it does very much come back to the individual. And that will involve the ego. So I'm very glad that you said that, Krista. Just to say that off the bat. And yeah, that it is really interesting how there are, it's sometimes astrology and numerology reflect a lot of the same things. I'm not an astrologer, and that's why everyone else is here right now to explain that piece of it. And that's why I always recommend people to consult astrologers. But I do follow a lot of astrologers, and I listen to what they have to say and notice that a lot of it, whether they notice it or not, does also follow numerology. And I don't anticipate that ever, but that happens a lot.
I think that a lot of the disciplines are connected with numbers, like the Kabbalah, astrology. I think they are. I think numbers, it's everything. Connected by numbers. I mean, we're here. We're a mathematical formula, I think.
And I'm always interested in the angles, those angles. It's like that geometric, even when you talk about the 1 through 9 system is 3 triangles, astrology is so much about those angles and when those planets are impacting each other at harder angles or softer angles. And we can really see the difference in that kind of thing. And that's why another thing, like with Saturn, like going into Pisces, it's like everyone who's a fixed sign has been getting really pummeled by Saturn and Aquarius, Uranus and Taurus. Yeah. We've been getting pummeled. So Aquarius, Leo, Taurus, Scorpio has all just been getting really nailed. So for those people, it'll be a nice little breath of fresh air to get some Saturn and Pisces energy going, which is going to be a little easier.
So does Saturn like to be in Pisces? I mean, is that an okay sign for Saturn?
It's supposed to like to be in Aquarius and Capricorn. And you know what? I've never really used that in my astrology as the fall. And it just doesn't work for me because we've had 2 years with Saturn in, signs that it's comfortable with, right? Because Saturn rules Capricorn and Saturn rules Aquarius too. So but Saturn and Aquarius, in my experience and, empirical experience of just looking at the last, Saturn and Aquarius, it's a very, very difficult time for the collective, for human beings. And like right now, we're coming to a 3 year end. 3 years we have had Saturn in Aquarius. And, so you can look to 29 and a half years ago where we were, and it's a very, for humanity, it's all often a time of, civil unrest and, political violence. It's a
illness.
Illness
is big.
Saturn in Aquarius is a very difficult transit for collective humanity. And I think that's because Aquarius rules humanity.
Right.
And I think people, and it is this, they say, Aquarius is the people, right? And so Saturn being on the people, it's the hardship of life. And we're all in, does kind of, in a way, pull us together and push us apart at the same time.
Yes, the pain of being human becomes so apparent under Saturn in Aquarius. It's like,
so Saturn goes into Pisces. It's in March, which we were going to talk about. I'm trying to break it down.
On March 7th.
March 7th, 3/7/2023. Now Pluto goes into Aquarius, 3/23/2023.
Yeah.
Numerologist, so I was going to throw that at you.
Toss that 23, I like that.
Yeah, toss that back to you because Pluto in Aquarius, that's the big shift we're talking about, 3/23/2023. And that's these numbers are playing with us. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of 23s and a lot of 22s, but yeah, when Pluto, when Saturn goes into Pisces, it's the end because Pisces is the last sign in the zodiac, right? So it's the end of a, there's another end, right? The beginning of an ending.
Yeah.
So it's everywhere. It's all over the place. We're seeing that everywhere. So Saturn going into Pisces, this is the end of a cycle, a 30-year cycle. So it's the dissolution of it. But my experience of Saturn and Pisces on a personal level has been, because I'm always so happy when Saturn goes out of Aquarius.
Yeah.
I'm always so happy. And I'm like, Saturn in Pisces just seems, It's just easier, and maybe that's, you know,
maybe less over Pisces, Virgo, and Sag, and Gemini. But it's not. I think there's something about movement through those fixed signs, the rigidity of the fixed signs. It just Saturn and Pisces is just a little bit more chill.
Well, it's Saturn and Neptune playing together in this weird, weird. And it usually it's very artsy.
Yeah, it's very that, like, when I was listening to the astrology podcast and they had this great little segment about Saturn and Pisces, and I was like, oh, that really resonates with me, the idea that because Pisces is so artistic, it's like Neptune, la, 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 and imaginative, but Saturn's very concrete and, like, let's actually get stuff done. It is a great time to, like, actually make something concrete out of your art, you know, to maybe even make some money with your art. It's like to be like a little bit practical, but also to create something beautiful because you're getting it done. You're not just sitting around talking about it, getting high and dreaming you're going to do stuff. You're actually doing it. It's a great time for art.
And it's
great.
Like, it's like what happened, if you look back to the last time Saturn was in Pisces, which was in 1994, around there. I mean, it's having a Saturn return. I mean, that was a Nirvana. It was a very, very...
Right.
There's a lot of great art at that time.
There was.
But also, it was the end of... you know, we had just come out of the Saturn Aquarius, which was the Rodney King riots and, you know, all this civil unrest, all this icky, and it was sort of...
And the AIDS crisis.
Yeah, and and that was the Saturn in Aquarius.
The bleakness of that 80s capitalism was just, like, draining everybody.
Yeah, but so the Saturn in Aquarius, and then before that, you go back to the civil rights. Civil rights came out after the assassination and the JFK and the Cuban Missile Crisis, right?
Right.
So then after that was the beginning of the civil rights. And it's like, and, you know, all this great music, too, that was coming in the 60s.
So I am going to direct this forward now, though.
Okay, thanks.
So one of the things, though, that I've noticed already because of Saturn and Aquarius and Pluto and Aquarius, it's the rise of the robots.
Hell yeah, we're here.
And AI.
That's technopocalypse.
And it is really freaky. I mean, you know, talk about creativity. Well, AI is writing poetry and painting.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to be one of the curious and mind-blowing things that's going to start happening. I think Saturn in Aquarius is sort of hinting at what's going to happen under Pluto in Aquarius.
Well, it is. And what happened was in the 2000s, we go back to the 2000s, that's when this all started, because Uranus and Neptune conjuncted in Aquarius. And that was the beginning of the techno-apocalypse, the beginning of it. And its time is it's accelerated so much that I think the Pluto and the Saturn going into Pisces and the Pluto in Aquarius... there's a little merging there, but it's so change is hard, and people are afraid of technology too, right?
Yeah.
And the natives that were born in 2000s, right, that were born with that Aquarian, that Neptune conjunction in Aquarius, they're kind of already there. They're waiting for us to catch up. Well, actually, they're waiting for us.
Because they've had this technology their entire lives.
They're waiting for us to get off the planet and get the hell out of here.
Stop destroying it.
I know. It's true. It's weird. But yeah, but it is a generational thing, too. And it's all so it started then with the conjunction. That's where they usually start. That's where your cycles start, right?
Right.
With the major planets. So with Pluto coming in there, now it's ticking it off. It's like, ooh, and it's going to call back. Because a lot of things that came in there, we have, Amazon is celebrating. It started during a Saturn.
Yeah, I think Amazon's having a Saturn return. Maybe PlayStation, a bunch of things are having their Saturn return.
The tech world.
The tech world is growing up.
Yeah.
It's like they're kind of coming into it because it's their Saturn return, right? It's their first Saturn.
Right.
But now with Pluto
going in there, I do kind of wonder, like, some of the dark side of technology is it's really going to probably become apparent over the next 20 years. And, you know, the question begs, like, why have robots create, you know, why do robots get to, you know, write poetry and we still have to work at Ralph's? Can't we just get the robots to work at Ralph's
so we can write poems?
You know,
they have them working at fast food in China.
Yeah.
They're doing that.
Yeah.
Because China is a great example.
That's what we should be doing with the drones.
Well, China is, because their population is an aging population because of social engineering. And you know what? China has the Chinese Communist Party, their natal chart, they have a sun in Aquarius and Aquarius rising.
Oh.
They're at a great,
like our numerologist.
Yes. So China, yeah. So China, look at China is going, that's why they say China's rising. Yeah, you know what? China, Pluto's going to conjunct China's ascendant and sun. And it's like the rise of, you know, this the world superpower. And that's, we've all been kind of watching that coming.
And I
think
people are really scared of it, especially here. Like, people are so scared of that. Oh, China having
so,
all the
and then,
power.
And then looking at the actual time, like you said, it goes into Aquarius for the first time in March. So what I noticed where there were, and you guys can weigh in, there were three key months next year that sort of stood out just in general, February, March, July, and August. And I was wondering if that matches with astrology. I knew that March was important because of Pluto. And they say often when Pluto or Neptune go into a new sign, there's a historical thing.
Oh, yes.
So like, for instance, wasn't that when when Pluto went to Capricorn, that was the beginning of the Occupy Wall Street and the financial crisis, wasn't it?
It was
that connected to it?
In 2000, yeah, it is, but it was like, when was that, 4 degrees? So in 2008, when when Pluto went into Capricorn, that was the Great Recession began.
Okay.
That was a financial,
But it was financial thing.
Yeah. And what had happened is it had gone into Capricorn, retrograded back, and I think the date is September sometime 2008. It had actually gone back into Sagittarius just for a brief time, like, you know, right when it's in it, when it does that, when it goes back over, that's when the crisis happens. And it's usually a crisis because Pluto is that way. And that's how Pluto rolls.
What do you think could be, in general, as a theme, the crisis of Pluto moving into Aquarius?
That's
around
the big question, isn't it?
Because it's not, I think with the crisis, it's often you get like that window of like, here's some Aquarius-ish crisis and here's some Capricorn crisis because we're not out of that yet.
Right.
You know, and I do think that we're going to see, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some more like infrastructure collapse and natural disasters with Pluto and Capricorn. I would not be, you know.
With it going back in?
With it going back in one more time.
Right. But I think
we're already dealing with that, but.
Well, it's kind of like the end. It's the end of Pluto and Capricorn. The Pluto and Aquarius wants us to look forward, right? So what happens, that's a good question, and that is the question, like what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be something that will be it's not going to be subtle. Whenever Pluto does that, whenever it changes, it's always something, and what it does is it makes everybody look ahead, right? You know, it's like, oh my God, you know, because we are kind of in a period of looking back, so it's looking ahead. But see, this is what happens. Pluto goes into Aquarius. And a remarkable thing about this year, and I wanted to talk about this real briefly at the beginning, was that even though we have these big shifts, these planetary shifts, Saturn, Pluto, Jupiter, and of course Mars too, what's remarkable is there's not a lot of hard aspects to the outer planets. That's a big deal because we have the past 3 or 4 years gone through some really rough squares with the outer planets.
Right.
There's one, and it's Jupiter square Pluto. So what's going to happen on May 17th, when Jupiter goes into Taurus, it's going to hit that zero Pluto point.
Mm.
That, I think, might kick it. You know what I mean? That's going to kick it because it's a square,
right,
and it's calling back to the Jupiter conjunct Pluto, which happened in 2020, the beginning of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all part of that system, right? Of that cycle. So it's connected to it. Because where we're at right now, globally, is a result of the pandemic. So, I mean, you can go back to the signature of that, the beginning of this conjunction, this Aquarian conjunction. So I think that April, whatever happens in May with the Jupiter square Pluto, it will be very apparent. And it's at 0 degrees. And it will. Now, remember, Jupiter is going to be in Taurus. And that's Jupiter in Taurus is going to be like, whoa, slow down, big fella. Aquarius, slow down.
And Pluto in Aquarius is like,
Pluto's already like, we're over here with our robots and, you know,
get with the program.
And, we're downloading our consciousness onto our laptops. And meantime, Jupiter and Taurus is like, how are we going to pay for all of this? You know what I mean? It's bringing the reality. So I think that there's going to be a real intense reality check there. I do think that this is probably, this is my spidey senses, maybe my intuition here. I think China and Russia and America, because we all have in our natal charts the moon in Aquarius.
Yeah.
These three superpowers, and I think there's going to be, you know, definite, like, geopolitical power friction. Grabs and friction.
Right.
And Carrie, I wanted to ask you, do you have any feeling about March in terms of the actual number for March mixed in with seven? Is there anything that sort of relates to what we're talking or doesn't relate to what we're talking to?
About? Well, something that I always say about March, it doesn't really matter at all what kind of year it is, but March is always the month in which the nature, like the number, begins. So, for example, it kind of takes a very long explanation, but generally speaking, when we enter the end of a year, we're going through these cycles that are not just yearly but are monthly, and we have, you know, the year number, then we have the month number. There is a number associated with the months in October, November, December. Towards the end of the year, those month numbers are repeated again, no matter what the year number is, again in January and February. So what I find is that when March happens, we actually start that year, if that makes any sense. We're working through, you know, what we did in November and December. It's a transition. Nothing is black and white. It's very much, as I describe, a spectrum when we're moving through the cycles. Think of a spiral staircase. And if you were to draw a line within that spiral staircase, you're going to find where those intersect. And with each year, you see this pattern in which we are exiting November, December, entering January and February, repeating a couple of the same things, but this time in a different energy. And then once we complete that, we actually start this in March. So that's something significant to say about March in general. It doesn't matter that it's a 7 year. And then I think we are in an 8 month right now in January, which means we'll be in a 9 month in February. We're going to be starting something new in March.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be a new beginning. So that's what I have to say about March.
Well, Thank you. That's awesome.
That kind of correlates with, in astrology, actually, the new year is the spring.
Yeah, the equinox.
The spring equinox. Aries. It's a 0 point Aries, which is really important. And that's kind of interesting because it's a zero point. It's the start. It's the beginning.
Now, I don't know if you noticed this, Carrie, but because I remember some of last year's that I did, I noticed there's a connection with the card for February last year, which of course is when Russia invaded
February
Ukraine.
24th, yeah.
So, and I just knew it was the month that would set the tone of the year. And there's another card that's similar this year, February. And I don't know what it is. I just know that it's sort of like there's something. And what's interesting, my card sort of suggested there was something new in February, and it seemed connected to me to last year. I was wondering if there was some connection to the war. Is there something progressing positively or negatively in February of the Russian and Ukraine war?
Yeah, whether or not we were aware of it, because we are just receiving through the mainstream media everything about this war. I do think something happened in November of last year regarding that, because what happens with, you know, there's only 9 numbers, so there's 12 months, so you repeat those numbers. So that number, what you just described, happened again in, like, I think it was November, and I talked about this in my monthly forecast for that month. And basically, I'm sure that that is an evolving situation that is continuing, and it is possible because February is going to be a 9 month. So yeah, something comes to an end, and the 7 year is going to be entirely about the mental realm, the subconscious realm, the non-material realm. We're going to have to dive deep as a collective and come out with some kind of clarity, hopefully. It's a very deep space.
Hmm.
And when we're going through that kind of energy and in a 9 month, which is going to be February, something's going to come to an end, and it could very much be profound, and maybe that will translate to a war scene. I don't know. Like I said, we are just like filtering through the mainstream media when it comes to stuff like that, and we don't know every single detail that happens with that. But sure. Yeah, that's good. That's worth mentioning for sure.
Well, yeah, and again, going back to this Aquarius energy, we won't quite be there yet in February. I mean, well, other planets will be in Aquarius. Pluto won't be there yet. But, you know, there's so much of what surprised everybody about that. It was like, you know, Russia's just sitting around bragging about all their powers, and they go in, we're just going to go in there and we're going to knock these people out in a couple weeks. It's going to be boom, boom, boom. And what has helped, what has brought Ukraine up and keeping them in there is about ideas. It's about, no, this is not right. The power to the people. You know, we believe in freedom. We believe in, you know, it's so much about going their own way and respecting the freedom of the people. And it's very heady, you know, it's a very heady thing, which makes me think that maybe they really do have a good shot. Like, you know.
It's funny because that new moon in February. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I was going to say there will be a fundamental shift in ideas and thoughts this year. And it might happen in February, or it might happen in not November. I don't know. It's very, I think the future is always changing, and I don't do predictions because of that, but I do think that at the end of the 7 year, whether it's immediate or not, there will be a fundamental shift in ideas and the general understanding of our world. And, you know, I talk about seven mostly, but the way that we get to that is through this double two that we have throughout the 2020s, accompanied by some other things. But what I've been talking about for a long time in my videos is this mitosis that's going on, because two is balance. It's two opposing energies that need to find something in between. And so we're seeing this shift happen in the 2020s, no matter what like part of the decade that is. So I also really want to whoever's listening right now, really emphasize on that it's not so black and white, and it's not so simple that a year starts and a year ends and we can cap it off and it's really easy to understand, because it's a spectrum and it's not really that easy to understand. It is very much an evolving situation, and we're going to see themes from the 6th year, and we're going to see themes of the next year, the 8 year, in this year too, because of that, as it being a spectrum. So I just wanted to communicate that real quick before we move forward.
I love that. And you can definitely see that when you keep a little track of yearly predictions, that you can see easily, you know, astrology has that, I think, in it.
Yeah.
That people tend to go back. But I am surprised, like with just even a few, like 12 cards, I could see the correlation, like, oh, it's building in this area. And that's what's interesting about prediction, is the patterns and the flow of it. And that's why there's something to it. Even if, like, you know, you say, Carrie, it's very fluid, at the same time, you can start to see these patterns and sort of understand how they work somewhat. And I think that's always helpful.
Right. Well, that's what astrology is all about. It's patterns, historical patterns. Mm-hmm. And we learn from looking at, you know, where we were in the cosmos, you know, 29 years ago. I mean, it's not even theoretical. I mean, we were at this point when Pluto was at this point. So it's kind of more, it's a more concrete, I guess, a more concrete idea that is basically a giant calendar. And that's really what we're trying to plug into when we do astrology. I was thinking that the March, when Saturn goes into Pisces, it happens on a new moon, on the full moon, the Virgo full moon, and that sort of kicks off this sort of like, it's another one of the 16 degree full moons, right? A seven moon. So, and it's on March 7th. So I find that really interesting, Saturn going into Pisces at that point. So I think that's going to be one of those, like you said, it's going to be the beginning there in March. A lot of stuff, it really, you can probably put that down to the beginning of the year, the true beginning of the year, not January 1st.
Yeah, right. Astrologically, it's a less arbitrary date to say March 7th than it would be to say January 1st.
So now, are there any other times that you thought kind of stood out for you?
I was thinking, like, there was so many things to talk about. I think maybe talking about the node shifting, or even maybe talking about Venus retrograde. There's just a lot going on this year.
Talk a little bit about the node shifting, because I would like to know more about how that affects us and what does that mean in general. Like, talk a little bit about that and why it's important to notice that.
Well, Caroline knows a lot more about this than I do, but she does. She knows a lot, but I think it does tie into like the shifting of where the eclipses,
right?
What signs the eclipses are falling in?
The eclipses have been in Scorpio Taurus because of the way the nodes are, the moon's nodes are, and there's a lot of science in that. But it's been about, you know, a couple 18 months, a couple of years. So all of the eclipses that happened, you know, we're in Scorpio Taurus, and we always look to those for our, you know, for where we're at, you know, down here on the Earth. So, but what's going to happen is after April, then all of the eclipses are going to be in Aries and Libra for a while.
Right.
So we're going to be leaving that Taurus Scorpio, you know, another fixed energy. Yes, fixed energy.
And we're seeing that's
why there's so much transition this year. And it's going to take till, you know, basically till 2026 before all the planets. In 2026, all of the outer planets, every one of them, all five of them, are going to be in different signs. And so we're looking, and it's all fire and air. There's no earth signs. It's all fire and air. And it's really kind of cool. And a lot of astrologers are saying that's when the 2020s really begin is then. That's when it really begins. And because all this hard earth and, you know, all of this, you know, Pluto and Capricorn and, you know, being stuck in these crazy systems and, you know, but with the fire and air, it's all, you know, it's all ideas and, you know, inspirations, and it's not a lot, and there's also not a lot of really hard aspects between them. As a matter of fact, there's none in 2026. That's why a lot of people are like, oh, that's going to be cool. But we just have to get for the next 3 years.
We got to get through 2023.
We got to get through the next 3 years.
next three years.
That's why it's this transition period of 3 years. And the nodes is another one of those signs that it's doing that. And that happens because there's that eclipse in April 20th. Is it April 20th?
I think it's April 20th.
Now, check out this eclipse, okay, you guys. On April 20th, it's going to be at 29:50 Aries. So, in other words, it's right, and anytime anything's at an anaretic degree, which means the last degree of the sign, you pay attention, because that's that shows the beginning and the ending kind of situation, right? But it's going to square Pluto. That's another Pluto aspect, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the April 20th. And that after that, the nodes switch. And so I think that's going to be, that's our big eclipse of the year. That's the one, you know, that eclipse and the one in October. But that's the eclipses are tied in with the nodes.
Okay.
And
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because it's the moon's nodes, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more boring stuff.
So, I mean, I know that the Pluto in Aquarius is taking up a little space, but it does seem pretty big. And one of the things I came across on astro.com site was this really interesting article by a man what was his name? Stephen Hofbauer. And he's talking about Pluto in Aquarius not simply from that external point of view when it has, like, you know, kind of the negative connotation because it was discovered in the 30s with the rise of socialism, National Socialism, and then Plutonian. He argues that it could be basically the working with the subconscious mind, and that is what it's about in the long run, the exploration of the unconscious. Because if we had an understanding of the collective unconscious, we might avoid certain things. Right. And there has been more interest in the collective unconscious since that time. And I think he also points out, it might be him or someone else, that we haven't really gone, you know, Saturn, because it moves quicker, you can go through a country or a culture can go through a lot of different Saturn and different signs. But Pluto and Aquarius is still, because it was discovered in 1930, it's still newish, like in terms of the experience of it, if you count that the discovery means something, that, which a lot of astrologers think that when a planet is discovered, that means something and the consciousness is opening up
to
that
ready
planet.
We're ready to see it.
So we really don't know a lot about Pluto is what he's arguing. And I thought that was just an interesting idea, and the idea of that because I know some, like Stephen Forrest talks about the importance of working more with psychology, and that because of that Neptune-Pluto trine or something, or sextile, I think it's a sextile that a lot of us are born under. And he's arguing that spiritual people have to blend that more, and that And that sort of appealed to me when I read that. And I thought, well, this is an idea that I liked. Like, Pluto in Aquarius, the individual taking responsibility for their unconsciousness.
Yeah, that's really good. And Pluto does rule therapy. It rules in the internal world, mm-hmm.
Psychotherapy.
The subconscious. Yeah. It rules the subconscious. And, you know, it's funny you said that, because I've been thinking a lot about, because Uranus is going to be going into Gemini. And Uranus and Pluto are going to be making knights now. They're going to be trying
for the first time. It's going to be very innovative.
They've been beating each other up and beating us up in the process. But they're going to be playing knights together. And you know what? Uranus and Gemini, that's mind, right? And Uranus doubles up with the Pluto and Aquarius. So I think with neuroscience, and we're going to learn a lot more about our own brains and our own mind. And there's the difference between the brain and the mind.
But right.
Neuroscience is right now is just on fire. And I think there will be a lot of, because the brain is so, and I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to, when you change the, you know, the mind, the brain, when it's like an age of enlightenment, I guess what I'm trying to say. It's like, it's going to change. It's going to break a lot of sciences. It's going to open us up a little bit. You know, I think so. I think with mind. It's all going to be about mind and the air. But I wonder, because it is cool, because there's going to be a lot of hard aspects, but not having a lot of water and earth, you know, it could be pretty. I mean, we're gonna have to be airy fairies.
I know. It's like we might have to be living on like shuttles out in space or something, because we finally just collapsed.
Maybe we're all gonna be uploaded onto our cell phones.
Maybe so, and we can just chat that way. Like we can just.
These bodies are in the way anyway, right? That's the Earth.
Yeah, you know. We've had a good run. Let's go.
All shoot ourselves out into space, and we're gonna be happy. It's gonna be an age of air too. Also, we're getting away from a 200-year age of Earth. Mm-hmm. We're going to age of air, and that ties in with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we got to get our minds.
Well, and I wonder too. I'm just thinking like that Pluto energy of like, and when it was discovered. I think it's interesting because Pluto is also tied in with domination, and Pluto. I'm not going to go down the BDSM road, I promise. But
Omar.
We could. But I'm just saying, like, I find it interesting that Pluto and Capricorn, it's like we are really seeing the dark side of that desire to dominate the Earth. Like we're seeing that. And I kind of wonder as we shift into that Aquarius energy, if there's going to be even more of just those little windows we've gotten into people trying to dominate the air, you know, like, oh I'm going to get on a rocket and I'm going to take, you know,
whole
like,
thing about
there's going to be, I think we're going to see more of that.
But check this out, because we were talking about the age of air, and like everyone's like, oh, you know, because now that's where the next wars are going to be in space. The space wars.
Space wars, maybe.
And there are. We are in space wars. We've been having space wars. But, you know, and China's basically, China we got to watch out for, because China could, I think China will probably make some kind of a power grab. I mean, when they start calling.
They could have a whole army of Burger King robots right now.
On the moon.
On the moon.
But they're starting to mine the moon, but because we're going to go into a whole new frontier. Like, how do you regulate the moon? How do you regulate space? Because we're so earthbound.
Right.
But I think the wars, I think that's why I think we're going to be getting away from, I mean, this sounds very optimistic, but getting away from the ground wars, the earth wars. Because we've been in an age of earth, and all the wars are fought with boots on the ground and tanks and we're on the ground. But now we're starting to do it in the air. Like cyber
warfare. Well, the drones are getting stronger. Yeah.
Drones, cyber warfare.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah, but less physical, like less tearing up the earth and each other.
Right.
The wars, I think they're going to be more information wars and cyber wars and, you know, all the technological wars and getting away from the earth wars, you know, that we've had last year.
Well, that's an interesting thought, too. Like, is there something in astrology or numerology this year that's related to the environment that might relate to this idea? Is there something positive happening? And is there something more about awakening in that area?
Well,
Carrie, do you have any thoughts about, does the seven, like if the seven has that kind of, doesn't it have like a very creative energy and innovative energy too?
The hope. The hope is an evolution. The hope is a kind of clarity. After reflection, we are going to be hopefully diving deep into truth. There is, as I say, no good and bad numbers, just a positive and a, you know, a dark side to each number. The positive side of the seven is that we do reach a kind of enlightenment. That's what we all hope for. What everything that you guys just described right now, the dark side of this energy is ego, and is, I think, what most people will be experiencing right now, which is actually a questioning of faith, very much questioning and confronting God for anyone who believes in that, asking why is it like this. I think that we have endured quite a bit, and nothing, everything that should change doesn't. I mean, I'm a five life path, and I'm an Aquarian, and my entire existence is everything needs to change, and I'm always looking towards the future, and nothing changes in my view. I'm like, this should be different by now. Why is it? And I think a lot of us feel the same way, whether or not we're undergoing that. And so we all come to this point where we very much do want everything that you just described, but we're still facing this dark side, which the seven will express through, like, feeling like there is no God, feeling like it is all hopeless, feeling like why would you would allow this to happen? This doesn't make any sense anymore. I'm looking at it with clarity. I'm looking at it with clean eyes, and it doesn't make sense to me anymore. And that's when, hopefully, even then, a transformation occurs. But we hope that it's with the lighter side of things. We do hope that it just comes instead through connecting through nature and connecting through the subconscious deep state and connection instead of disconnection, if that makes any sense.
Mm. I think it's interesting, you know, because when I hear as a, you know, an Aquarian, and I hear you talk about that, I'm like, yeah, everything needs to change in the future. And I find that very relatable. And yet I think what we're watching is so much unrest is there are those people that are like, glorify the past is so much better, why can't we go back to the way it was? And then there's the people that are like, no, we need to change it, we need to move forward, we need to make it better. And I think we're just seeing so much, especially with that Pluto shift, we're seeing like, that is a huge, huge part of the conflict that's going on in our world right now. The whole entire world is glorifying the past versus looking to the future, and that is the battle that we're kind of in.
I want to ask you guys this, since I have all this Aquarian energy here, and you're talking about change and the nature of change, right? And being Uranian, natives. I've been thinking about this a lot, okay? Because witnessing what's happening in our politics and anywhere else, okay, we have this whole thing going on in American politics where we have the rebels, which are the ultra right, and it's like they're the ones that are trying to, they're the revolutionaries, and I find that it's really strange, because we've argued about, are you woke? I'm awake, and this whole like who's the real searching for change, and I think. And I was thinking about it, I said, well, maybe because Saturn is ruled by, Aquarius is ruled by Saturn, yeah. and Uranus, right? It's got a co-ruler, right? There's a duality there. So Saturn, and it's like, and I figured it out. I was like, you know what? These rebels, like, for instance, the Never Kevins, the Tea Party, it's not that they want to change forward. They want to change back.
Yeah,
they want to return.
Back. Yeah.
They return. It's so interesting to me. And I think that could explain the co-rulership of Saturn, right? The Saturn change. Yeah. Saturn, the Saturn's rebel wants to go back to the way it was, to the past. And the Uranian rebel wants to go to the future.
Right.
And it's so interesting because they're both talking about the same thing. We need to change things because we need to change things. But it's that weird revolution, counter-revolution thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to ask you guys what you think of that.
I think a lot of people listening to this right now would be like, I've seen the past. I'm not really impressed by it. I may or may not know what the Uranian future holds, but let's give it a go.
Exactly. Like, how much worse could it be?
And I think that perhaps, yeah, you could section that off and into that kind of duality. And then one side still, though, is like, this works the best for like three people.
Right.
Right.
Well, it depends on how far back you go, though. That's what's interesting, is there are times where, for instance, the culture revered the earth, and it gets a little complicated. And the whole, since I have Aquarius rising, I have struggled with that co-rulership, whether or not it's real. But what is real is those transits affect me.
Right.
So I mean that, so if Saturn does something significant, I have to pay attention. If Uranus does something significant, I have to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And I find, like, now the same guy, he says that about Pluto. It's, we don't always understand what has happened until after the fact.
Oh, yeah.
And he was saying even the Pluto in Capricorn now in hindsight, and I think that Pluto is like that if you do look at it as kind of a deeper energy that and that, you know, I understand what you're saying about the Aquarius going, you know, the co-rulership going backwards and into the past, but I don't think that's how it works from having Aquarius rising. I think you have this tension that you have to work out for yourself. Where can I follow something that is more traditional, or where is it's more grounded? Where can I break free and be a rebel? I've been fired from jobs for that reason. And you have to kind of decide, this is running out our timer, so I'm going to try and wing it. You have to really just see them as like these two bosses you have. And they don't get along. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes.
You're grounded, like, and you're that's how, like, I mean, I'm that's the how cool I'm, mom.
It's like it's kind of insane in a way.
It
you
is.
Know,
that's
my experience.
That's an excellent way of putting it. You're two parents.
Yeah, the permissive parent and the one who's always grounding you. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Exactly.
Yeah, and it does set up an internal conflict, doesn't it? So that's what we're seeing in the collective.
Yeah.
What I'm kind of getting to.
Yeah, and it's probably going to get worse.
Yeah, because Pluto's there. And both, you know, because we say we're so polarized right now, it's polarizing. And it does, it seems to be pretty black and white. But we all know it's not black and white. It's multidimensional, complex realities out there. But having it be so, like, either you're a total, you know, you love, you know, the political autonomy of the tyrant and the, you know, and with no democracy or whatever, the democracy versus whatever it is, it's not. It's much, much more, I think breaking it down too simple, it's reductive, and
it feeds the beast too of, like, right. You know, if you're just like, hey man, I just don't want to be, like, you know, hurting people. They're like, you're a communist socialist. And it's like, wait, what
liberal
just happened?
Avocado toasty.
Yeah, you eat too much avocado toast.
Yeah, so you have, like, to choose a side, which I think that's why we're in this place. And I think that's the Gemini.
And I'll always choose avocados and people over your, you know, rules of whatever. Always. Avocados are awesome.
Well, it's funny because you have people like Kevin McCarthy, who's an Aquarian, right? That's why I asked, like, what I was thinking about. I was like, Ronald Reagan was an Aquarian. China's ruled by Aquarian. You know, it's like, okay, but it does seem to be, you know, they are very, like, revolutionary, but it's always like, oh god, like, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, some of them are, their idea of revolution is, oh, it's real messed
up. It's still revolution, all right?
Maybe that for them, the political leaders that have that Aquarius, it seems like Aquarius has a natural ability to speak to the people. And that way they were both, they're
you
both very
people,
Aquarian.
Yeah.
Like, that, there's, for whatever reason,
communism
they...
Communism is an Aquarian.
So,
yeah.
So that that's, part it, is seems
China
to be
is,
true about them.
China is a very communist, it's a very Aquarian country, and it's communist. It's like the idea of the people. That's the idea, right? Yeah. You know, and that's a problem, too, sometimes with Aquarius. It's the idea is beautiful, but actually, you know, making it work.
So. I think that, to me, speaking, I can say this because it's kind of negative about Aquarius and because I am one, but it's like, I think that I've seen in myself the little bit of a dark side of Aquarius is a lot of times we think we know best. We know best because we figured it out. Mm. We know what's best. Mm. And so whatever your version of the best is, you're like, just why can't everybody just do this? It's so clear. I can see it. You just do this and it's going to be fine. So if your ideas are stupid or stodgy or whatever, but you've decided it's the best, and it's something that I think Aquarian energy is, it's important to work on that and go, I don't always know best. That sometimes it's good to not be rigid in your thoughts, but to remind yourself to have a little flexibility in your thinking.
Hmm. Right.
Yeah, the fixed energy coming through.
Yeah, that the fixed thing can happen up here. It's not like I can go with the flow. It's like, oh, this meeting got moved to tomorrow. Okay, whatevs. But in my mind, it's like I got to sometimes work on, like, you know, tweaking that and going, you don't always know everything that's best for every single person. You know? I mean, mostly I do, but sometimes I don't.
Now, I know you wanted to talk about the interesting thing about the degrees of the full moons?
Yeah.
That there was a repetition of that cycle.
Right.
16 degrees, was it?
Yeah. It's starting, because the last time we were here was that election moon, November the November 8th one. It was at 16 degrees. And I hadn't really paid much attention to the degrees, but I was doing some, you know, work, and I saw that, and I went, oh my God, there's seven of them. And what's going to happen, and this is why I think it is important astrologically, but what's going to happen is every time there's a full moon now for the next...
We just had one.
Yeah, we just had one. This was the third, Cancer, right? the third of the seven, right?
Yeah.
Every time we have a full moon now till May, they're going to be at 16 degrees. That means they're going to aspect the last full moon. They're all going to aspect each other. Mm-hmm. So I see them as I was thinking of a chain, but more like chapters or acts in a play, like... Because usually you have the whole cycle with just the one lunation, but when you have seven of them, it's an eight-act play. And it started in October 9th and then went to, and then the next one, which was November, which was the American election. So every full moon, I think, it's gonna call back to that, right? And that's why when this stuff was going on with the Speaker of the House and it was supposed to go on the third, and I wasn't really paying a lot of attention
in December, it was the Georgia runoffs. It's like it's been this
yeah it was, thing. It was December 6th, 7th, right? So this last week when this was happening, someone asked me about it, and I said, oh, I don't know what's going on, and then I thought, oh,
this is the next act.
This might be the next full moon, which was on Friday, but I was like, it's not going to go till Friday. It's not going to go till the 6th.
And then it did.
And I was like, and then that made me like, okay. So that's what I'm saying. I think these full moons are linked because they're all going to call back to each other. So that's why I think...
The story is still...
The story, yeah, because they're all... But they're going to aspect each other, right? But the next one, that one that happens when it's in Leo, is going to square it, and that's going to be... It's going to square that full moon, that eclipse. So by the time I guess I'm trying to say is that whole election. And remember, we were doing the predictions, and I said we have to wait till the next full moon. We're going to then wait till the next six till we know who's going to actually be.
Who's going to be there? Yeah.
So I think that.
So that would be when? That would be the next.
Because remember, you asked about how who's going to be taking the house and all of that.
Right.
So I think that's why I think, well, it's not even over yet. Mm. I do.
There's more to the story, and it's hard to say what it is. But if we're going to just throw out key dates of the next full moons, it's like February 5th, March 7th, April 6th. Those are all at 16 degrees. So.
And then the next one, the one that breaks the spell, is the solar eclipse at 29 degrees Aries, which squares Pluto. So you see what I mean? That's squaring, that's the USA Pluto return point.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so this is about our little democracy game.
Democracy drama.
Our democracy drama. I think we will know something by then. We're going to know. And I do think... that the election really isn't over, in the sense that I think that it's very possible, you know, that the Republicans do lose seats in the Senate because I don't think they're going to be able to hold on to their majority, and a lot of things can happen. Like, you know, it's happening. We're seeing it.
Yeah.
So that's my idea on that. I think that... that it might even back up again. A lot of things can happen.
What about Donald Trump? Can we expect to see him in orange jumpsuit?
At some point?
I'm visualizing it.
I've really been trying not to put any energy into thinking about him or talking about him any more than I have to, because I just feel like it feeds the narcissistic Hydra beast, and I'm just like, oh, I'm so sick of him. But I hope so. I mean, I hope things aren't looking good for him, but at the same time, he always seems to...
Well, I was looking about that because this really does all link back to Trump, really, doesn't it? This whole election, we can blame it all on him, right? But, why not? But I was thinking that full moon on April 6th, it's in Libra. Libra rules the law and justice, right? And it's at 16 degrees because it's tied in with these other moons. And it's April 6th, 16 degrees, 0.7, right? So degrees, sorry. But that's justice, right? That's the justice moon. So that's why I was wondering, I was like, and I put a question mark there. Now, the USA's Saturn is at 14 degrees Libra.
Libra, right?
So that full moon is going to conjunct it, right? So that, I think if there's, I think there's going to be some moves, whether it's taken him down, which it's quite possible, but there's going to be some big moves on that full
maybe
moon.
Some of those people who are insurrectionists will also get arrested.
Well, that's
their
the idea.
Seats will open up and we can elect
you remember it's going to tie in with our little theory of being tied in with this cycle that started on the eclipse, which started on the election. So yeah, I think because I saw where's the justice coming, so I think that might be it. And I think yes, I think there will be big moves in the Justice Department of Justice. So yeah, look to that date for that.
Well, hasn't Biden been appointing I forget what I saw, all the minorities and women into positions
it's
not really big on the news, but I happen to see that, so that it's almost like he seems more like innovative than you think, because you don't hear much about him sometimes, and then you'll see something like that.
Well, that's my theory on Biden. I think his superpower is his underestimatability.
Right, because he's kind of like...
No, that's a superpower.
You guys want to get a hot dog? And then everyone's like, okay. And then the next thing you know, he's done all this stuff.
And that's a dangerous... And that's why I was... Because all of a sudden, he's got a lot of planets in Scorpio.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, he's a buffoon. And, the right just dismissed him.
Oh, yeah. Sleepy Joe.
We're going to sweep the house because nobody likes Biden. Blah, blah. And I was like, oh, that's it. But Biden's superpower, I really do think, is that everyone underestimates him.
Same with Merrick Garland. I think they've both been underestimated, so I don't think...
Yeah, we'll see what happens with old Merrick. But hopefully by that full moon, we'll see. Anyway. I don't want to talk.
So I had another kind of curious numerology question, and you may or may not be able to answer it, but some people look at like 2023 and they look at the number 20 and they look at the number 23. And the reason I'm curious about it is that whole 23rd enigma thing that I know only a little bit about, but it's kind of a very strange and intense number, synchronistically, and some of it's positive and some of it's negative. I've just heard like magical people talking about the 23rd enigma, and there was a show that another numerologist talked about the 23rd enigma, and I don't know a lot about it other than it seems to capture.
I love the number 23. I've been obsessed with it. I need to rewatch that.
Yeah, the negative thing is sometimes like shootings are done by young men that are 23, but that's the negative thing. But there's the positive. So do you have any thoughts about that, or do you take that into consideration when you look at the year number?
Do you break it down to five? Just curious.
I always include the entire thing. So I would not just look at 23. I would look at the entire number, except for when we move through that single digit. Like, for example, like in my 2023 forecast video, I discussed the function of specifically the number 3, because that's the most recent change in this entire chapter. The fact that there's a 23 composed in that entire year, I don't know whether or not that's significant, because when does it end? There's so many ways you can dissect it, and it's hard to say, especially with people with magical thinking. And we are going to be venturing into psychology this entire year. Maybe a lot of those people will be kind of, I don't know what the right verb is, but revealed in a certain way regarding their practices, because it's hard. There's a lot of systems within numerology, and the ones that I always work with is looking at the entire thing, reducing that to one digit, and then also understanding what composes that digit. So for me, it's not so much being concerned with, oh, there's a 2 and a 3 next to each other, but instead we are here at 7 and we got there by 2 plus 2 plus 3, mm-hmm. and that's it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. It does make sense. Okay. Now, just a curious thing, and I have no idea what this means, but when I did the cards, the 12 cards, one for each month, I use the Crowley deck because I love it. And in the deck, there are two cards that represent him. And which once you read the cards, you can kind of see why. And both those cards came up this year. The Prince of Wands in March, that month I thought was interesting. And then the Queen of Swords is one of his cards too in September. And then just again, a curious thing, the number 777 is a big thing with Aleister Crowley. So I wondered what that meant for magic. Like I said, oh, Aleister Crowley is really present. And one of the things about Aleister Crowley, he's coming into his own legitimately. He's not just for people that like sex magic, and he really added so much to magic, and he has been totally misrepresented in a lot of ways, but he's coming into a place where many people like him, even if you don't follow him or, you know, you're not one of the OTO members. So I just thought that was curious as a synchronicity. Is there something about this year that is related to the magic and metaphysics that's different?
Well, yeah, I mean, seven is our jam, I think. I've talked about this in my life path number videos. Seven is actually my favorite life path number. Any seven I've ever met is my favorite person ever. It doesn't matter. We could be extremely different, and I respect it. And I'm like, cool, okay. But like, it makes sense within what we do, because seven has everything to do with the non-material world. And the seven is the faith-seeking number. And the seven is going to, you know, be this kind of energy in which we have access to the subconscious world, to awareness, to things that we already know that we may have forgotten. And we're learning to make those connections again back from however many years ago, when we were kind of, as a lot of us, mostly just entrenched in magical thinking, which wasn't necessarily the worst thing that could have happened, because we needed to kind of like shed a lot of stuff and be open completely, either mentally, spiritually, or with our hearts, to this other realm of reality, which happened, I think, you know, about 9 years ago for a lot of us. Especially, at least when we were looking at the collective, for each individual person, that's in their own trajectory. Either they came here like that, or they had like an age where that happened to them. But I do think that we saw like in the early 2000s where this all became very popular. And you can look back into the 2000s and understand, oh yeah, that is when, around-ish this time, the occult was a thing. And and it's not just a thing in that it's the hush-hush thing. It's now, you know, mainstream, and a lot of it is accepted to in a certain extent. And then when you talk about crystals or tarot, someone has an idea of what you're saying, whether they like it or not, because it's so common. And so that we do make those connections again. And before this podcast ends, I do want to remind anyone listening to take the time to go outside, because the seven seven being the non-material world, like, just go be at peace with yourself in nature, because that is the access point, I think, for most of us at some point in our lives, where we can, for whatever that means to us, whatever all this is, whether it's Aleister Crowley with the, you know, tarot, whether it's astrology, whether it's numerology, it doesn't matter. I do think that we are very much easily able to connect to that parts of ourselves when we're able to put down this pain of being human, as you coined the term. And boy, do I relate to that completely. My Saturn's in Aquarius.
Oh gosh.
Oh, you have Saturn in Aquarius too? Conjuncting your Saturn.
Yeah, being human is a painful experience.
It's horrible, isn't it? It's the worst.
You're from like the sandbars of Nebula.
I go to the beach and I'm like, okay, it's all right. That's how it is for me. So I just want to remind anyone, I'm sure at least one person right now is listening to this and is like, oh yeah, I did enjoy that activity where I was be able to connect to something bigger to myself. I should do that again. And this is like the year to do that.
Michael, I've been totally amiss. I have not asked you any of your opinion. What do you think maybe about the magical side of things?
Well, I think that, you know, I think every year is magical in its own right. But I don't know if, I haven't really thought so much about how magic will shift or change in this particular year. Although I think perhaps maybe it will become more significant in a way. I think every time there's crisis, and I do think that our country in particular is that way, I think that there's a shift of consciousness where magical people sort of get it together and want to do things to improve the situation. So I think there'll be more emphasis maybe on magic, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I was also thinking about an off-the-wall prediction this year that I'm going to throw it to you guys too, and that I'm going to predict that Bigfoot will still not be found. So that's my prediction for this year.
I hope you're wrong. I don't know. I think Bigfoot's a Pisces. You know, rules the feet.
Yeah,
he's got to be a Pisces. Yeah.
Saturn in Aquarius. Have you been feeling the Saturn? Yeah.
My Saturn is returning, and I'm like, all right.
I know. Don't worry. We don't. In March 7th, it's into Pisces.
An astrologer once told me, "Is like, don't worry. It's gonna come to this point, and then you got to just focus on the long term view, and it's gonna be okay." And I'm still sitting here waiting, like, all right.
Yeah. Saturn okay. Aquarius is rough.
Well, you've got the Saturn conjuncting your sun and your moon, right? Your
ascendant. Yeah.
Right. That's a lot. That's a lot of Aquarius. Yeah.
It's been a time.
Yeah.
It's been a time.
But you know what? Your Aquarians, I always say, were born ahead of their time, right? So I think with the Pluto going in Aquarius, you might feel a little more like they're catching up to you.
Yeah, maybe so. Because it's like if you're going through Saturn return, you're so young, but at the same time, you talk in some ways like a 90-year-old, like all Aquarians do. Like we sometimes sound so ancient.
You're young when you're old and old when you're young or whatever.
I've definitely had a lot of friends who are much older than me for that reason. My entire life I've definitely been drawn to that for sure. I identify with that. But anyway, it's not.
I wanted to go back to 23 really quickly. I think I'm obsessing with the number, but because it was really funny, you guys were talking about 23. I was like, oh my God, that 23 in my head because I've been looking at the United States Constitution, which was drawn up in 1787. It wasn't drawn up at the time. That's when, the Constitution. That's the chart for it. It's got Saturn at 23 Aquarius.
Yeah.
And I noticed this last night, and I was like, oh, interesting. You know where Saturn is right now? It just happened this week?
23
Aquarius.
See,
so Saturn,
the 23rd enigma is happening.
Yes, and what that means is that the Constitution, during this whole last little, scenes that we've had, is having its Saturn return. It's a Saturn return. Mm. So I think that's tying in with the Pluto, with the Pluto return.
Yeah, I've actually heard about that. I did think that starting, I don't know, sometime in November, something was happening in which I heard another Shalitor talk about that. Like maybe the Constitution will be
absolutely
rewritten.
Mm-hmm. It's going to
like
be.
That. But I was like, maybe we should, will we have a Constitution?
Well, I think I've said this before.
Are we going to rewrite it or are we going to just like throw it away and maybe be like, all right, what else?
Well, right now, we're at the Saturn return. But when Pluto goes to 14 degrees, it's going to have its Pluto return. So, because it's about 10. So the United States Constitution is going to have its Pluto return in about 10-ish years, right?
Okay.
So, I don't think it's going to make it through that because that's death and rebirth. That's like...
I agree.
Yeah.
And who knows what it's going
well,
to
be. Well, and then also...
I was going to say the next 10 years of pummeling it,
I forget the degree that the third house is in the Sibley chart. It's Aquarius, though. So
yeah, it's 11 degrees Aquarius. Yeah.
So then that's related... That could be related to thought and rewriting something. Because Mercury, that's interesting. Yeah.
So I think, the Constitution's not going to... It's going to be changed dramatically. And now it's getting tested, especially right now. It's like, oh, okay, where's Saturn return? And what happened this year? We had a lot of stress on the Constitution and a lot of, like, was going to, and it is, Pluto's like, that's old and stupid.
Aquarius especially, like, oh, come on, you guys.
I know, we need to rewrite this.
That basically says some people aren't even people. Yeah. That's not cool.
So I think we're headed into that Constitution.
Either all people are not people or all people are people.
Yeah, we're either all people or none of us are people, okay?
Exactly. I could go with that.
So I thought it was really funny that during this last, Speaker of the House situation, that was all happening at the Saturn return of the Constitution.
Yeah.
And they keep talking about the Constitution. Everybody's just throwing back the Constitution. It's like, well, first of all, you guys need to read it.
Yeah, and I don't even think most of them have read it. And they're screaming about it.
Understand it.
And the very people who are screaming about how they're honoring it are the ones dumping all over it. So it's just really bad.
Yeah. I actually went and reread it. And I had a cute little book that had like historical things related to it. And I still didn't understand some of it. And I realized that you really have to study it. But I kind of felt that last year. I said, I don't know if I've ever read the whole Constitution.
Oh, I haven't read the whole thing.
And I've read like one or two.
It's awful, really. I mean, it's so racist and misogynistic. And we're not even
But if I was going to run for office, I would read it. because I just feel like you should have to. Just like I feel like people in the church should have to read the Bible, and they don't. You know, like,
yeah, I tried the Bible thing because it's one of the
I tried it too.
It's one of the most influential books in the world, and you just need to know it, right? Even like as a literary thing. So I got to maybe through. I couldn't even get through the Old Testament. It was so depressing.
I read the entire thing, and bless you. You're not missing anything. I wanted to prove that it was garbage, and sorry, it's my opinion.
There are some beautiful passages in like Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, and that's a beautiful one. Some of the Psalms are nice.
You really got to pick it apart.
But so anyway,
yeah, you do.
Another thing that I did last year, and I understood some of it, I decided to pick an animal card for the year. And this year I picked, the ally was mouse, and the adversary is reversed badger. And the mouse, which I found interesting, mouse is about watching, looking at details. But I also read this very interesting line in Jamie Sam's book, which I'd forgotten. She says mouse is about the systemization of knowledge, the age of specialization.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's Pluto in Aquarius.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the badger reversed is imbalance and aggression.
That's interesting because we're fixing to go into the year of the cat. So the cat and the mouse.
Cat and the mouse. Cat and mouse.
Yeah, the new moon.
Chinese New Year is early this year. It's on, rabbit and cat are the same.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's rabbit in Vietnam, maybe?
Yeah, different countries
have a different one.
Is it like a domestic cat or a...
Domestic cat, okay. Because you have the tiger.
Right, right. So, yeah, that's right. Okay.
January 22nd.
That is cool. Cat and mouse the next year.
So we are shifting from a tiger year to another shift.
We're domesticating that.
Right.
Pussy. Yeah, we are. Yeah.
And then the other thing about the badger, which I wonder if you could have any thoughts about, any of you, is that it's badger's strength is it's a storyteller. And it's really good with drugs and pharmacy. So if I have like a badger as a totem, like Michael has it, they can research any kind of medication. Sometimes they are herbalists or pharmacists. Since it's reversed, I thought that could be bad news for the drug companies. Maybe something big pharma
honey badger go after
badger. Well, we could be going back. There's all of this, you know, with the whole trying to cap the price on, you know, insulin and all this stuff. There's been so much tension around the pharmaceutical industry and the changes they're trying to make and then the right pushing back on that. So maybe some of that will also come to a head.
You know, I wanted to bring something up very quickly about Pluto. Pluto is interesting because Pluto is the smallest planet. If sometimes the other planets don't even want to acknowledge that it's a planet.
Right.
It's the smallest planet, right? But it yields all this power, right? Astrologically, symbolically, right? Because it's Hades and it's the underworld. And, you know, it means power, literally. Like, you know, not literally, but in astrology. Power, right? And it's this tiny little planet. And it's on the very, 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 very outside of of our galaxy, right?
As far as we know.
It's the symbol, symbolically, it's the power of the small and the fringe, the outsider, right? Very symbolically, right? So the power of the small, right? When Jupiter squares Pluto, because Jupiter is the power of the big, right? So everything's big because it's the biggest planet. And Pluto, when those two bump up against each other, I think that you can see a lot of that working out right now because, I mean, Jupiter is square Pluto by sign right now. But that the power of the people, right? Pluto, tiny little planet, people, a lot of them, right? The power of the small. And I think that that's what the power of the people, the rise of the people, a lot of people are saying that's what Pluto and Aquarius is, right? Because it's humanity.
Right.
And the power of the small, like, for instance...
And a mouse is small.
For instance, like...
the power of the mouse.
Plutonium, right? You know, and the symbol of the very small and the invisible. Like, the most dangerous predator on the planet... is not a grizzly bear. It's a mosquito.
Right.
It kills more people than a grizzly bear does. Like more danger.
And certainly more than Bigfoot. I mean, he's just chilling in the forest with his big old feet.
Well, he's having an existential crisis because he doesn't even know he exists.
Because Michael insists no one's going to find him. And he's like, please, somebody find me.
I don't know if he wants to be found.
Maybe he's like, you guys are garbage.
Going back to a prediction connected to maybe what the event or crisis might be in Pluto and Aquarius, I think it could be connected to homelessness because we've had this,
that's good,
what is it? you know, you've been not allowed, you don't have to pay your rent. And now it's all coming to fruition that people are going to be evicted. It's already happening. No one's going to be able to catch up on their rent. I foresee that the homeless crisis is just going to get worse. And it's going to hit people that don't expect to be hit. That's the thing. And I think there might be this year a more obvious crisis. And it's already a crisis, but a more obvious collective acknowledgement of it.
Can I give you an astrological connection with that? The United States has Pluto as has its moon at 27 degrees Aquarius. So it's got moon in Aquarius. So Saturn is going to conjunct it and next month. It's 27 degrees, right? Mm. So Saturn's been on that. And it's moon is the home, right? Yeah. Moon is the people's home. Home for the people, for not for the, you know, the rich and the wealthy, but the people, right? And the spirit. So yeah, I think that that's a really good, that there probably will be a crisis. I mean, crisis brings change, right?
Right.
Unfortunately, that's how we roll as people.
Like, right.
Has to get to it. But there might be a crisis. That might be part of the crisis. Yeah, we are having a homeless crisis too. And I think that's what's happening too at the border. I mean, granted they're migrants, which is, you know, but they're still, you know, they're still homeless, and they're still coming into
right.
the country.
They're obviously fleeing homes that are right. not livable,
right.
and then they come here and they're like, "Sorry,
right.
oh, it's such a
so."
Mess
remember, now, Saturn is going to be on our moon, the USA moon. It's 27 degrees. This it is right now. It's coming really close.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and that's women, because women in this country are going through tremendous. You know, we're getting rights taken away, and there's all this, you know. Internal and homes, and that's really good. I hadn't thought about that yet.
Yeah.
Well, it hit me personally, and my father's an Aquarius, and he was right. he was evicted at 91.
Oh,
right. And he
see that should be illegal.
Undeservedly. Like they just wanted to, you know, get mm-hmm. the apartment.
And, you should never be able to evict and, a 91-year-old.
And it's I don't think people realize the kinds of people that get evicted. I mean, I know because I've been part of Venice for a while. It's just ordinary people, oftentimes,
right.
because of the. Problems with housing in the country,
right.
but
well,
also,
fewer and fewer people are owning more and more stuff. And
right,
it's like
so the distribution of land has to change, and of course we can't even get into the whole indigenous
right.
issue too. The land being taken from them, and their all of the treaties were completely broken.
Right.
Maybe there can be some more consciousness initially around right. it on a larger political scale.
Right,
not, it's becoming more conscious, but it's still not there.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I don't think I need to be a numerologist to say that the economy is just gonna get worse. But
I, so.
I do want to mention real quick that I do think that anything financial will come to head next year because it'll be an 8-year, which has everything to do with materials and finances and law and mm-hmm. karma. So it'll start this year, yeah. But next year, perhaps we'll see some events take place regarding everything that you just said specifically.
I think there's going to be a huge financial shift. I think we're going to go. We're headed towards cryptocurrency. Absolutely, digital currencies. Because you know the paper money and gold. Remember, gold comes from the earth, and we're leaving at the age of earth. We're going to the age of air.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be digital.
Well, because really we're already like when you think about it, it's like money is already really just an idea. There's not.
Well, yeah.
It's all.
Yeah. So it's yes. Yeah, so
how much money do I have? I'm going to log on and check.
Yeah.
It's not. We don't have a bag of money anymore,
but
you know.
In a lot of ways, that's why, you know, the governments don't like the digital currency because it sort of democratizes it. Like anybody can, you don't need a centralized, you know, banking
right,
system.
Right.
But
you can't manufacture scarcity
right,
when
right.
you have a digital currency supply.
Yeah, you can't control it.
Everyone.
Yeah.
So the eight, but see, eight also, from little I know about numerology, eight is also the power, isn't it the power structures too? Like that would be the... like the corporations and governments
yes.
too, like
it
struggling
be,
to get control.
It could be when you see what you just, what you guys were talking about, what you were hoping that will happen in April, where we do see some kind of law enforcement, or I do hope, maybe it was in April, I don't know. That could happen for an entire year next year too. That's also a possibility. Yeah, for sure.
I want to go back to the financial thing because under Pluto in Capricorn, I looked up the price of gold at the beginning, how much it went up. And I'm wondering, I thought, well, isn't aluminum associated with Aquarius? Aluminum. And I looked and there's some things it is used for in electronics.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if the value of aluminum is going to go up. And also if we're going to try to mine asteroids, because that's been one of the things they've mm-hmm. talked about with Pluto in Aquarius, probably, are they going to find a way to do that in the next 20 years?
I absolutely think so. And I think the ones that are going to do it, so it's going to be Russia. It's because we're all up in space now, and you know, Russia, China, and the United States. But it's really kind of funny because right now there's a sort of cooperation between the Russians and the Americans because of the what happened with the International Space Shuttle. They've got those astronauts trapped up there. And so they're having to work together, the Russians and the Americans, to get them. And I thought that was kind of interesting because, you know, when you're in space, you know, when you're away from the Earth, you know, it's kind of like they have to work together. There's cooperation, right? And so that's sort of a hopeful. That's a hopeful sign to me that, you know, getting away from being so earthbound and all the nations cut up in these, you know, nation states that, you know, that we can't, you know, if we're going to be all in a space, we have to, like, we have to get along.
Get along. That could be Pluto in Aquarius.
No, I think so. Yeah. I think so.
In the long run.
About the people, And less about governments and the oligarchies and the big corporations. I mean, that's what Pluto in Capricorn is, basically. That's where we were at. Those systems falling.
Right.
You know, and changing. And technology is going to make them change even faster. Really fast. And I think also nuclear, too. I think we're going to go towards nuclear energy. It's like my son said, fusion is the future, fission is the past. Mm-hmm. That they're, I know he's a little, you know, Nostradamus, I call him.
Nostradamus.
I know. So I was like, oh, yeah, because of the symbol of Pluto and Uranus, plutonium and uranium.
Right.
And I was asking him about it, and he's like, yeah, I said, no. So I was like, I think that by next year, when it's Pluto is finally in Aquarius at 1 degree and it conjuncts the sun, I think we're going to see some big nuclear announcements. I think we're going to see, because they're already starting to work on, there's patents going out. They were even talking about having little reactors that you can put in the back of your truck to fuel it. Isn't that crazy? And I was saying, oh, that fits in with Pluto, taking the very small, you know,
powering
the power. Right?
I like that. Now, I think we just have a few more minutes. Is there any sort of last thoughts, any of you have that you want to make about anything connected to it? It doesn't have to be even logical.
I was just going to say, just because we tend to just focus so much on the political, and just to like throw like one kind of fun, sexy, spicy thing in there, that with Venus retrograde in Leo from July 22nd to September 3rd. That is a good time to pay attention to any booty texts you might get.
It's going to be from the next.
Any old lovers coming out of the woodwork and being like, hey, what you doing? I would say be careful, because it might not necessarily be the most positive thing.
That's in July. That's when the exes come back.
July to September, watch
Venus
out.
Venus retrograde.
Like July 22nd to like Labor Day. Is just be careful about, you know, those late night texts from the person you thought, man, I really thought I was out of it this time. So.
I had a whole thing I wanted to do, a political thing, which I won't do it now.
We'll
it's going to take a lot, and
we can go longer.
Well, I have been kind of obsessed with Kamala Harris's chart and Biden's chart too, because she has got so much, and I even wrote it down, like she's marked by fate. She was born with a Libra Aries full moon, right? At 27 degrees, squared by the United States Pluto return, which she's getting right now. So right now, Kamala Harris is having her moon being squared by Pluto, right? And her Saturn return, and Saturn squaring her, squaring her Venus, I think it is. And I'm like, okay, I was looking at it, and I just sort of pity for her. I'm like, oh my God, that's a lot for a psyche to handle. And I'm like, what happened? Did anything happen to her like at the end of December? Because that's when this was coming down. And I saw that news story about how they took the migrants, you know, they bust the migrants up and put them in front of her house.
Yeah.
That's very Pluto moon, right? It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I think that, because I'm like, something, I don't know how she can, I don't know if she's not breaking under this. It's like, wow, this is a lot of stuff on her chart. And Biden's going to have a lot, because Saturn is going to start squaring his sun and Venus, and he's getting a lot of squares. And I thought, I think there's going to be some, unless she can just power through this, and I think she is marked by fate. I think there's something that's going to happen with her and Biden. And I've never really thought Biden was going to last through his whole term or the next term. I definitely don't think he will be for the next term because he's getting all this stuff is Saturn.
He's not going to be another term.
Pluto is going to exactly, because he's got Moon in Taurus at 0 degrees. Pluto is going to square his Moon.
Yeah.
So they're both getting their Moon squared, which I think is kind of interesting because the Moon is the house, right? In the home.
Yeah, it's kind of the house.
And I think we talked about this. I think a lot of that could be symbolic of what's going on, you know, in Congress. Like, they don't have that
right,
control
and
of their
call
house
it the house, yeah.
But I wonder with her, I think she's going to, that's a breaking aspect to have Pluto and Saturn pummeling your Moon at the same time like that. Like, I don't even know. So I think, and it could be just that she rises, she's got some kind of karma with power with the United States.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, she could, I don't know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, she, there's some sort of power situation with her and Biden. I'm kind of circling around.
Yeah. Do you think she'll be president?
That's why I brought it up. Because right now she's got a lot of, and especially in February. In February 15th, there's all this, Saturn's going to be 27. It's going to be on our Moon. It's going to be on her, hitting her and Biden. And it's like, okay, it's like this point. They all three just come together. And I'm like, okay, something's got to break here. Something's got to happen. And, of course, Biden, you know, that on his Moon, having Pluto on his Moon, it's very much going to be his health. And there's Mars is going to be, because Mars in Gemini. We haven't even talked about Mars in Gemini. Mars is going in.
That's a whole thing.
Go direct soon.
Yeah, the 12th or the 18th. Yeah, the 12th. So, but that's going to. Yeah. So
Friday
the
13th.
Oh, nice.
That's how I remember.
But that's going to square all of her Pluto stellium she has. So, and I'm talking fast because I'm trying to not, you know, take up too much time. But that Mars, I'm afraid, because Mars can be very, it can be violence, and it's on our Moon, so that's at our home.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling, just as a pure, like, soul feeling, that she's very unhappy in her home, wherever she's at. It's very uncomfortable, and it feels very dangerous, okay? And I was like, oh, God, that's weird, because they dropped those migrants out at her house, right? It's not even really her house. That's a vice president's
house.
Right,
but it's such a violation of, like, your privacy. And
And with the Mars coming up and hitting and setting all that up in February, I'm like, oh, God, I just worry about her, and him, too. And I do think it's very possible that she could ascend to presidency and that something will befall Biden. That's the curse of Tippecanoe, too, and that's another show, because he's, you know.
Yeah. Well, we can delve in some of that later, too.
Yeah, I'd like to. We have to do a whole session on that. Because
That's fascinating. I mean, she's already been marked by history because she's the first.
Exactly. And she's
vice president who's a minority and a woman.
And she's got an exact, she was born exactly on the full moon, the Libra Aries full moon. She's a, you know, that's social justice.
She's very much tied in with the karma of the United States.
And I think she's suffering. I can see it when I saw her yesterday when she was standing behind Biden, wherever he was. All I could see was, like, she's like, I'm trying to hold it together here.
No, I think that she's, I think that she is, my vibe is just, I don't think she's very happy doing this. Uh-uh. I think she thought it was going to be something else, and I don't think she's happy.
It's threatening her home. It's threatening her in a very, I mean, that's.
I saw a post of hers on Instagram with her and her husband. It was like, well, you know, the food we made for Christmas. And it looked so, like, contrived and like, look, we're happy. We're you know, and it's just that feeling that you get when you see people on social media putting something forward and something in you says, that's not what's going on at all, you know.
Right, and I think that having having them dump migrants off at her home, which is her moon, and that kind of, like, that just puts this sort of, like, it feels very, very scary and very dangerous for her, probably emotionally.
Yeah.
And that's, that's really, I'm afraid something, I am afraid that there will be violence towards her. I do, or Biden. And in February, there's a lot of, you know, with that 27 degree of Aquarius, it's.
Well, that was a month that seemed interesting to me, but I don't know why. So, did you have any last thing you wanted to add, Carrie, to just the overall year ahead, or any other thoughts that popped into your head?
Not much. I would just say to embrace wonderment and discovery this year, and don't be afraid to walk your own path.
I like that.
Walk
wonderment.
The wrong path? Did you say walk the wrong path?
Oh, no.
Walk your own path.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's a good one, too. Don't
they
be afraid
work.
To.
I mean, if your path is the wrong one, you know, whatever.
Well, thank you all for coming on. It was really a lot of fun, a lot of information.
We need another 4 hours.
We probably do. And thank you all for listening in. Join us next time as we continue to explore the esoteric and the obscure together in 2023.